Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Good morning and welcome. The Chumash portion for today, the Sunday of Kedoshim, chapter 19 in Leviticus, verse 1. Kedoshim means holy, holiness. The portion of Kedoshim is a relatively speaking short portion. Avi, bring me the good Chumash, please, for Vayikra. It's a relatively short portion, only, I believe, 64 verses, but it packs a powerful punch. There are many, many commandments contained in this relatively short portion, which has a common theme, and that is a theme of holiness, sanctity. And we're going to be learning this, as we do every day and every week, verse by verse. I just want to give you the summary of how many commandments of the 613 commandments are contained in this 64-verse portion. There are 13 positive commandments and 38 negative commandments. That's like, if my mathematics still works, 51 commandments. That's like 8-9% of the 613 commandments in this one portion. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor Hashem. God spoke to Moshe saying, Daber, speak el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, to the entire community of the children of Israel, to the entire congregation. They gather together, everyone here. V'amarto aleihem, and tell them, kedoshim tiyu, you must be holy. Why must you be holy? Ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I, God, your God, am holy. And if you want to be connected to me, you must be holy. Rashi 2, Daber al Kodas b'nei Yisrael. What do we learn from the fact that it says speak to the entire congregation of Israel? This teaches us, Shenemra Parshazu, that this portion was stated, Behakel, when every single Jew was assembled together. Why? Mipnei Shereiv Gufiteira Kluyimba, because the majority of the essential fundamental commandments of the Torah are contained in one form or another in this portion. This is a central theme of Jewish life. Mitzvahs associated, connected directly with the idea of holiness. Kedoshim tiyu, first point in being holy is heve prushim min ho'arayos, separate yourself from inappropriate intimacies, o min ho'aveda, and from transgression. Shekol mokim, every place, shata meitzi, where you find geder erva, the idea of inappropriate intimacies, atameitzi kedusha, you find the word holiness used. Holiness and the opposite, unholiness. Isha zeino v'chalolo, a woman who is a harlot or a profaned woman should not be taken by a kohen as a wife. Ani Hashem mikadishchem, I am God who makes you holy. Good morning. V'lo yechalel zarei, do not have him profane his children. Again, the special sanctity laws of the kohen. Ani Hashem mikadishchem, I am God who makes him holy. Kedoshim yiyu, you shall be holy. Isha zeinu v'chalolo. So that holiness has to do with many, many points, especially the laws of intimacy involve holiness. The Bala Turim points out here, Adas b'nei Yisrael, the congregation, the community of the children of Israel, and then it says Kedoshim. This is an allusion to the fact that any matter of holiness needs a minimum of 10, a quorum, and that's called a minyan. A minyan is 10. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The words, I am God, your God, we find 10 times in this portion. And that also alludes to the idea of a minyan. And then it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and it begins with fearing respecting one's father and mother, or one's mother and father, to teach you that honoring and respecting parents is like honoring and respecting God. Some of the tidbits of the Baal HaTurim here. Verse 3, Ish imevi aviv tiro. There's a joke I heard in my childhood. There's a man who comes before the court, and the judge says to him, your name, and he says, Moshe Cohen, your occupation. He says, Your Honor, I'm a minyan man. He says, what's a minyan man? He says, when I come into shul and there are 9 Jews, and I'm the 10th, I make a minyan. He says, well, if I come into this thing called shul and there are 9 people, and I'm the 10th, I also make this minyan. He says, Your Honor, also a Jew. So that's the idea of the minyan man. The sanctity of a minyan. Verse 3, a very central verse in Torah. Ish, imei v'aviv tiro, each man, each one of you, should fear his mother and father, v'es shapseisai tishmeru, and observe my Sabbath, ani Hashem elekechem, I am God, your God. Rashi, ish, imei v'aviv tiro, meaning, kol echad mikem, each one of you, tiru, should fear Oviv, his father, v'imo, and his mother. Zehu pshutei, this is the simple meaning. Medroshi, the Medrash says, Ein li elo ish. When it says a man, I would think that this mitzvah only applies to a male, that only a man has to fear his parents. Isha minayin, how do we know that it applies to a woman equally? Kishuei metiro, when it says plural, you shall fear plural. Harei kanshnaim, so there are 2. Man and woman should both fear parents. Im kein lama nemer ish, why does it say man? Because very often, in certain cultures, certainly, it's easier for a man to give respect to his parents. But a woman is obligated to her family, to her household. It's a little bit more difficult for her to be free to give the same respect to her parents as her husband can. He has more opportunity and so on. Here the Torah teaches that the application of this mitzvah is equal upon man and upon woman. I heard an interesting interpretation recently. Why does the Torah promise long life when it comes to honoring parents? There are many wonderful commandments in the Torah. Yet when it comes to honoring parents, the Torah says, Kabed es avicha v'asimecha, the 10 commandments. Respect and honor your father and mother in order that you live long. Good morning. Why is long life promised with honoring parents? The answer is because if you want to properly honor your parents, it takes a lot of time out of your day. And you're going to need long life to make up for all the time. Here the Torah mentions mother before father. That's strange. Why doesn't it say each one of you should fear your father and mother? The father in the traditional world is the head of the household. Why mention the mother first? Because of Mother's Day. Lefisha goli lefona, because it's very clear to Hashem, shahabein yori es aviv yeser mi'ime. There are actually 2 expressions of honoring and respecting parents. And those are the words I just used. One is honoring and the other is respecting. So it's clear that human nature is that a son is afraid of his father more than he's afraid of his mother. Wait till your daddy gets home. Boy, is he going to give you. Well, b'chavod, when it comes to honor, higdim ov la'im. So therefore the Torah says you have to fear your mother just like you fear your father. You have to respect your mother. You can't be disrespectful to your mother just because she has a soft spot for you. When it comes to honoring higdim ov la'im, the Torah mentions the father before the mother. Lefi because shegoli lefonav, it's clear, revealed before Hashem. Shehaben mechabed es im yeser me'aviv. The natural inclination of a son, of a child, is to honor his mother more than he honors his father. That's why Mother's Day is so much more popular than Father's Day. Mipnei Shemishtadalti bidvorim, because she always wins his favor by saying wonderful things. Oi, my son, my son, my son is the best. So what doesn't the son do for his mother? Says the Torah, you have to do for your father too. Yes, Shabbos say Tishmeru, and keep my Shabbos. Samach Shmira Shabbos Lameda. Oh, why does the Torah juxtapose the observance of Shabbos and placing it next to honoring a father? Leimar, to tell you, and interestingly enough, as a practicing rabbi for some 40 years, this is one, as an ordained rabbi for nearly 40 years and a practicing rabbi for some 39 years, but I'm not supposed to talk about years on this class. I have found that this is a very common question that is asked to me. The question covered in this Rashi, and I've often sat down with people, opened up the Chumash, and studied this Rashi. What does this Rashi say? Afal pisha hizar tichal meida of, even though I admonished you regarding fearing a father, if your father tells you, Chalil es HaShabbos, go desecrate the Shabbos. People have come to me and say, my son got crazy. He wants to observe the Sabbath. We're all going to a movie on Saturday. Rabbi, tell him he has to come. Tell him he has to honor his father. We're all going shopping. Tell him he has to honor his father. I said, let me get this straight. You want me to tell your son to desecrate the Shabbos, right? He says, you got it. So I open up the Chumash and I say, look at what the Chumash says. Even though the Torah admonishes a child, an offspring, to honor and respect his parents, but if the father says to you, if the parent says to you, Chalil es HaShabbos, desecrate the Shabbos, and you must listen to me because I'm your father. Al Tishmalo, says the Torah, do not listen to the father, because God says, honor the Shabbos. Your father can't go and oppose what God says. A parent, good morning, cannot come and expect a child to listen to the words of the parent if the words of the parent contradict the words of God. Says Rashi in these few powerful words coming from the tractate Baba Metzia, the Talmud, V'chein b'shar kol ha-mitzvos, the same applies to every other commandment. No parent has a right to expect their child to listen to them if their command opposes the teachings of God. So therefore I say to people, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I cannot tell your child to listen to you if you want them to violate a mitzvah. Tell my child not to be so religious. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Atov Yavicha, you and your father, Chayovim Bikvedi, are obligated to honor me. Lefikach, therefore, the Torah says, Leisishma Lei, you don't have to listen to your father. You should not listen to your father. Levatel, to nullify, to void, as Dvari, my words. Now we find two nuances, two expressions. We find fear and we find honor. What is the definition in a practical realm of fear and honor? Ezehu Meida, what is fear, or as we call it in our culture, respect? Layeshe bimkeme, a son, a child should not sit in their father's place. This is your father's place, you can't sit here. Vilayadab bimkeme, you shouldn't speak in his place. When somebody poses a question to the father, the child shouldn't answer, except in America. In America, this is a world of youth. Vilayister es dvarav, the child should not contradict the father. Father is saying what happened last spring. He says, no, it was two springs ago. So in general, this is an idea, the idea of respect. Not to sit in his place, not to contradict him, not to respond in his place. Vezel kovid, and when we speak about honoring parents, what does that mean? It means machil, it means bringing them food, mashke, bringing them a drink, malbish, when they get older, helping them put their clothing on, manil, helping them put their shoes on, machnis, bring them in, motza, bring them out, all of the things that a child does for parents. That's one expression of holiness. Now, this is the style of this portion. He just segues from one to the other. Speaking of holiness, verse 4, Al Tifnu. Let me just quickly check the Balaturim here. Al Tifnu El Ho'elilim. Do not turn to idols. Idolatry is not a good idea. Veleke Masecho, and molten gods. Gods poured out of gold and silver and other metals. Leisasu Lechem, don't make for yourself. Don't create idols. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God, and I'm commanding you not to turn to or create idols, pagan idols. Al Tifnu Elo Alinim, don't turn to them. Turn to them for what? Le'obdam, to worship them, to serve them. Elilim, the word Elilim comes from the word Al, not. Kiloihu Choshev, they are naught, they're worthless. Ve'lehei Masecha, Tchilosem Elilim Heim, first they are naught, v'matapein achareim, but if you turn to them, Seivcha Esa Esa Melehus, you make gods out of them. Le'sasu Lechem, le'sasu l'acherim, don't make it for others. Ve'le'acherim Lechem, others shouldn't make it for you. You shouldn't be in the idol production business. If you'll say, Leisasu la'atzmechem, you can't make for yourselves, avalachedim esim lachem, but others may make for you. Good morning. Harikvar nemer le'yilacha. Everybody says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not have. Le'shachav, le'shalachedim. You can't have idols that you made or that someone else made for you. Verse 5, v'chisiz b'chuzebach shlomim la'ashem. And when you will offer a peace offering to God in the Beis HaMikdash, lirtzeinchem tizbachu, you should do it with goodwill. V'chisiz b'chu, Rashi, it doesn't say five in this book, but it should by v'chisiz b'chu, leinem rapashazu. The reason this portion is stated, l'lamed, is to teach us. Shalei sehesi b'chos in elam anas le'yochol, that the offering should be on the condition to be eaten b'sei chazman, as within the time frame. We know that every sacrifice had an expiration time. If we intend to eat it, if our intention is to eat it past the expiration time, the whole sacrifice becomes invalid for bad intent. It's an amazing law that just what you think can invalidate a sacrifice. If you think that this verse sets the time, no. That's already been done. Been there, done that. This tells us that if one intends to eat it past the date, what's a common scenario? I go back to my childhood where my teacher said it's very simple. A guy is bringing a peace offering, and he's bringing it on this and this day, and he knows he has a big group of friends and family coming a little bit past the expiration date. He says, no. Let's not be so picky. I'll go an hour or two past the expiration date. Picky. That thought invalidates the whole sacrifice. Lirtzeinchem tizbachu tchilas b'chose, to hey, the beginning of this offering should be with the intent, shi'alacham l'rotzin, it should be acceptable by God, shim tachshu olav machsheves psul, if you think anything that invalidates it, lo yirotz aleichem l'fono, it's not going to be accepted by me with goodwill. Lir tseinchem apesmant in Old French. Zeo lefip shute, that's the simple meaning. But abeseinu lomdu mikana, our sages deduced from here, lemis asik bekochim, that if somebody who just was busy and he happens to offer a sacrifice accidentally, without intent, he says, oh, look what I did, a perfect sacrifice. Sheposel, it's not fit. He has to have focus and intent when he offers the sacrifice. And here he gives the time. You have to think that you're going to eat it on the day of this offering, this peace offering, on the next day, because that's the limit of these peace offerings. Anything left till the third day, should be burned in fire. It becomes invalid and has to be consumed in flame. When you offer it, tishchatu, you should slaughter it with the intent of not going past this time, which I already set for you. What happens seven if you eat the sacrifice past the expiration time? Pigul, who this is considered pigul, meaning an unfit or a vile thing, lo yirotzit, shall not be accepted by God. if this verse does not apply to somebody eating beyond the time, because that was already covered in chapter 7, it could be applied to outside the locale, because we can only eat the sacrifices in Jerusalem. I would think that we have the punishment of the cutting off of the soul for inappropriate eating. That this punishment does not apply to this type of scenario. Pigul misaya of abominable kamei morek pigulim kleim. Eat ve'echlav, and those who eat of this inappropriately, avena yisa, bear the sin. Ki, because as kedesh Hashem chilo, he profaned the sacred of God, v'nichasa anep shahim e'amah, and that soul shall be cut off from its people. Ve'echlav avena yisa b'neser gomer akosim edaber. Here we're talking about somebody who literally eats of the leftover sacrifice past the expiration. Ve'ena onesh kodesh. Here there's no punishment of cutting off of the soul. Al'anishkan chutzlam ekeme, shekvar miyata akosa, for one who slaughters it outside the place, because the Torah already excludes that. This verse, B'neser Gomer Medaber, is talking about literally eating it past the expiration date. They studied it, they deduced it from a process called the Gzeder Shava, where two mitzvahs use the same word. Now we segue into another category of mitzvahs. Suddenly we're talking about charity. And when you reap the harvest of your land, remember the poor. Do not consume pa'asodcha, the corners of your field, liktzer, cutting it, leave a little bit in the corner of your field for the poor. Veleket k'tzircho, the gleanings of your harvest, leisalaket, you should not gather up. Rashi, leisachala pa'asodcha, shi'aniach peya, you should leave the corner, b'seif sodeyo, at the end of the field. Veleket k'tzircho, what are the gleanings? Shibolim, the ears of corn, hanation, which fall to the ground, b'shas k'tzira, at the time of reaping, achas, if there's one, eshtayim, or two, then you don't turn around and pick it up, but you leave it for the poor people who come and collect it. Avol sholish, but three is already a bundle. Ein eleket, you don't have to leave that. Three is something that is a dover choshev, and you could, it's a respectable amount, and you can go back and collect it. The Balaturim here says, ubekutzrechem, it's as if it says, ubekitzir chom. When you harvest, chof mem. Chof mem, the numerical value of chof mem is 20 and 40. Chof is 20 and mem is 40. 20 plus 40 is 60. How much do you have to leave in the corner? 1/60th volume of the field. So chof mem equals 60. Ubekotzir, chof mem, 1/60th. We find four times the word kotzir in the verse to teach us four teachings here, which he brings down to the Baal HaTurim. Pa'as sodcho has the numerical value of hapeya hu echod mishishim. That peya is 1/60th of the harvest. So that's the amount that one has to leave, 1/60th. Okay. Verse, where are we here? 10. Thank you. Bechar mecha, the same goes for your vineyard. Leisa eilel, you do not glean it clean. Ofedet karmecha, and the fallen fruit of your vineyard. Leisa laket, you shall not gather it. Le'oni v'lager tazeveisam. Here he defines what this is all about. You should leave it for the poor person, leave it for the stranger. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God. Leisa eilel, leisitil, eilele shabbat, don't take the separate little bunches, veinikotis, ezeo eilelos, what's considered a separate small bunch? Kelshein lekosev leinotev, a stalk of grapes that has no arm and no trunk, it looks like, Jackie Mason says, like tzablushet and tzahargit, it's just a little thing there. That you should leave. Ofedet karmecha gargare anovim. Single grapes, haneshim b'shas b'tzira, that fall. However, this adds up to a lot, and from this, the poor people benefit. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God. Dayon, I am a judge, li parea, to exact punishment. I will demand your souls. Shenemar, it says, Al tigzol dol, do not rob the weak, ki Hashem yorivrivim, because God will fight their fight. Now, bridging over into the next mitzvah, Loi tignevu, do not steal. V'lei sechachashu, do not deal falsely. V'lei sechakru, do not lie. Ish ba'amisei, one to another. Don't steal, don't deal falsely, don't lie. I told a little story yesterday. I just read an interesting story. That how did all this happen? We have all these don'ts. Says it all started when Moses came down off the mountain. And he saw the golden calf, so he threw the tablets down and broke the tablets. Tablets were made out of a very expensive material called sapphire. So all the nations of the world came to grab the sapphire because it's expensive. And they came home and they saw the little pieces. One grabbed a piece, it said steal. The other, murder. The other, adultery. And the Jews grabbed pieces too. And what did they find when they looked? Don't. So we got all the don'ts. Ay, ay, ay. Rashi, Loi tignevu azhora. This is an admonition, a warning, legain of mammon, for somebody who steals money. Why? It says in the Ten Commandments, do not steal. That's kidnapping. That's stealing people. Avale signif shabaseres hadibris, the thou shalt not steal in the Ten Commandments. Azhar legain of nefoshes is kidnapping. Why? Because the Ten Commandments, every one of the commandments has to be able to result in a death penalty. Kidnapping people could possibly result in a death penalty, not stealing money. Dovar halomid minyone, something that we deduce from its general setting. Dovar shechayav malei and Mrs. Bezin, there has to be a possibility of capital punishment. V'lei shechachashu, l'vishenemar, it says v'chichashbo, that he denies it. Somebody puts something, gives something to you to hold. He comes back and he says, no, where is it? He says, what? Never heard of it. Mishalim kerem v'chemish, and ultimately, if he comes clean, he has to pay the principal plus one-fifth penalty. Lamad nu'enish, that's the punishment. Azhar minayin, where's the warning? There can't be a punishment in Torah without a mitzvah. Tamar leim v'leis chachshu, you cannot deal falsely. An adorable story from my childhood. This fellow comes with a very expensive candlestick, and he gives it to his friend. He says, I have this sterling silver candlestick. I'm going out of town. Can you do me a favor and keep an eye on it for me? He says, with pleasure. Anyway, he comes back 6 weeks later. He says, can I have my candlestick? He says, yes. He gives him the candlestick. Then he gives him a little tiny candlestick. He says, what's this? He says, your candlestick had a baby. He says, really? Mazel tov. Takes the candlestick. Anyway, he has to go on his next trip. He takes a big candelabra. Gives it to the guy to watch. Comes back 6 weeks later. He gives him the big candelabra back. It's gorgeous, plus a little candelabra. And another one. He says, what happened? He says, twins. He says, this is great. Mazel tov. The next time he goes, he takes every bit of silver that he has and he brings it to the guy. He says, can you do me a favor? I got to go to town. Can you watch this? He says, with pleasure. Anyway, he comes back. He's so excited. What is he going to find now? He says, can I have my stuff back? He says, please sit down. He says, what happened? He says, it was terrible. They died. He says, how can silver die? He says, if they can have babies, they can die. So that's the guy who said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know nothing, like Alfredo says. Lei tignevu, v'lei tchachshu, v'lei seshakru, v'lei seshavu. So Rashi says, in gonapta, if you stole, say for lechachesh, in the end you're going to deny. You know what happens when you steal? They say, do you steal? He says, me? Moi? Of course not. Save for the shaker, in the end you'll lie. Save for the shovel hashaker, in the end you'll commit perjury. That's what happens. Verse 12, V'leisi shovel bishmi la shoker. Do not swear by my name falsely. V'chilalta, you will profane. Es shem elekecha, the name of God. Ani Hashem, I am God. V'leisi shovel bishmi lama nemel pishenem. V'leisi shem Hashem elekecha la shov. It says, do not take up the name of God, your God, in vain. Yochalei chayev el Hashem am yuchad. I would think if he only uses the name of Hashem. Minayin l'rabis kol kinuim. How about if he uses any name of Hashem? Tamar leim v'leisi shovel bishmi la shoker. Kol shem sheyeshli, any name that I have. You can't swear falsely with using any name. By the way, the whole idea of swearing is a scary thing in Jewish law. We don't want people to take an oath, even when you go testify in court and the judge causes you to take the oath, you have the option to say, I affirm. That's an option that is given in order to accommodate Jewish law, who says swearing is a very serious thing and you should stay away from it. Affirming has the same application in perjury laws as swearing, but it doesn't have the same religious connotation. Verse 13, Loisashek es reyacha, do not oppress your fellow. And that means if somebody works for you and they come to get their check, you say, well, I'm working on it. See me next week. Veleisigzeo, do not rob him. Leisolin pula sochar itchad baker, you can't even go to sleep holding on to the pay of the employee who worked for you. If it came due, how can you go to sleep and not pay him? This is somebody who holds back the wages. This is language of feminine gender. Applying to the deed. What does it mean until morning? Here we're talking about a day laborer. A day laborer works by the day. He finishes when the sun sets. Therefore, he collects all night. Another place it says, don't let the sun go down. This is already a night worker. He finishes working in the morning. So the Torah gives you 12 hours to put the money together. The Torah gives the owner a 12-hour window to search for money. He has to see his banker and draw on his credit line, if he has one. 14, Leisikalel Cheresh, do not curse even a deaf man. As Rashi says, you're not allowed to curse even a hearing person. Vilifnei Iver, Leisitein Michshel, do not put a stumbling block. There's an adorable story they tell of a yeshiva boy. Good morning. There's an adorable story they tell of a yeshiva boy who came time to look into a shidduch, came time to look for a prospective mate for marriage, and he's looking for the best. Anyway, along comes the shatchan, yenta the matchmaker, and gives him a suggestion, unbelievable. Anyway, he comes into the house, and the shatchan is with him, and he sees this woman, and she's twice his age, and she looks horrible. And she has a patch on her eye, and she's hunchbacked, and she's got crutches. And he says he whispers to the matchmaker, what is this? Who is this girl you want me to date? Are you crazy? So the matchmaker says, you don't have to whisper. She's deaf too. Don't curse a deaf man. And before the blind, don't put a stumbling block. V'yoreisa me'elokecha, you should fear your God. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Rashi, Leisakal El Chedesh, Ein Li El Chedesh. This teaches us that you're not allowed to curse a deaf man. Minayin Le Rabbis Kol Adam. How do we know you're not allowed to curse any man, any person? Talmud Leimer Ba'am Chalei Soed. Anyone in your nation, you shall not curse. You don't curse anyone. Im Kain Lama Nemer Chedesh. Why does it say deaf? Ma Chedesh Miyuchet Shubachayim. Just as a deaf person is unique because he's living. Why do we say he's deaf? He's alive, but he's deaf. Afkel Shubachayim. This mitzvah applies to the living. It doesn't apply to cursing the dead. If somebody curses the dead, it's not a nice thing, but it doesn't violate this particular mitzvah. This doesn't necessarily mean only somebody who's blind. This means anyone who is blind in a particular matter. For example, somebody doesn't know anything about stocks. He comes over to you and say, should I invest in this stock? Is it a good stock? He says, good. It's fantastic. Let me sell you mine. and he gives him this deal that, oy, is this a good piece of real estate? It's fantastic. You can't mislead people in something they know nothing about. That's called putting a stumbling block before the blind. Don't give him advice that's not good for him. Al Tema, don't tell somebody Mecher Sotcha. Somebody comes to you, they're not that sophisticated. Should I sell my field for a donkey? He says, yes, good deal. Sell your field and you'll get a donkey. Donkeys are rare. And then you seek an opportunity, you get the field for next to nothing. Not kosher. You have to be straight with people. You have to give them straight advice. You shall fear God. Why does he say fear God? Because because the average person doesn't necessarily know if you're being straight or not. If the guy means well or not. He can get out of it. And say, I meant well. You should fear your God. God knows what you're thinking. And likewise, anything which is in the heart of the man who does it, and people don't recognize the truth, it says, you should fear God. God knows the truth. End of today's Chumash portion.